Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
So, devotees, this morning we will focus on His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Seeing today is His appearance day. And we are fasting, of course. This is one of those days on which we fast till midday. So we have perhaps a little more time. Let us see. But let us discuss about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his father was Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, very great acharya in our line, and basically the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, at least as Siksha Guru and foremost authority in that sense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a great preacher, and he was really concerned and interested and enthusiastic. How can we further the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sankirtan movement? How can we further the Sankirtan movement and make Krishna consciousness available to more and more people, and ultimately to everyone, really? So that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire. And in that regard, to that end, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying that he would be able to have a son who was, as he put it, a ray of Vishnu. Some very special personality who would actually descend from the spiritual world. A great transcendental personality who would descend from the spiritual world into this rotten material world. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing how rotten. Yes, but some special personality, not just some, nice devotee or nice person, but some very special person and spiritually powerful person who could then take this mission and spread it widely and really involve many people from many backgrounds in Krishna consciousness. It was he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who made the prediction that in the future Vaishnavs would gather in Mayapur for the Gopanima festival. Vaishnavs would gather from all the different countries of the world. from England, from Germany, from America, and just from everywhere. And they would all come together in Mayapur and have kirtan together, and together they would chant, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. So he was praying like that. He was praying like that. And actually he had a large family. He had a very large family. 10 children. I think by anyone's standards, really, that's a large family. And at least one other was a devotee in a different sort of frame of mind, not a preacher, but still a practitioner. That was the youngest son, Lalita Prasad, who Prabhupada knew and Prabhupada tried to preach to or to influence to get him to hand over the birthplace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was under the control of that particular son of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, to get him to hand it over to ISKCON. And initially this Lalita Prasad, he indicated that yes, we'll do it, why not? But in the end he didn't. And Prabhupada became dissatisfied with him in that sense. That this devotee would say yes, but then he wouldn't. So Prabhupada just gave it up after a while. So, yes, the idea was to have a child who would be a ray of Vishnu, who would descend and then dynamically preach and spread Krishna consciousness, ultimately all over the world. So in response to that prayer, on February the 6th, 1874, means, what does it mean? It means 133 years ago. Am I right? No. 154 years ago, February the 6th. 154 years ago, in Jagannath Puri, a son was born to his wife, Bhagavati Devi, who was the answer to that prayer. And that son, of course, who was born on that day, February the 6th, 1874, was none other than Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although, of course, in those early days, that was not the name that was used. The name that he was given in his childhood was Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was the sixth child. He was the sixth child in a family of, I said 10, in a family of 13. That's a big family. And he was the fourth of 8 sons, and the third of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife, Srimati Bhagavati Devi. That's a little background. The sixth out of 13, the fourth of 8 sons, and third by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife, Bhagavati Devi. So when he was born, a very distinctly, and it was a very sort of a special type of indication sign, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck like a Brahman thread. Yes. And it was wrapped so tightly that it remained clearly visible throughout his entire life. Yes. So, just shortly, if he appeared on February the 6th, Jagannath Rath Yatra, we could even look up our calendar calculator can also calculate days in the past. But normally, I won't do it right now, but normally the Jagannath Rath Yatra falls in June, that sort of time. Of course, it fluctuates due to the lunar calendar. We would say roughly in June means Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is March, April, May, June.
4 months.
The Rath Yatra festival was held, and their house was right on the main road. In fact, just a few hundred meters or something like that, down the road on the left-hand side from the entranceway to the great Jagannath temple, in front of which the Rath Yatra procession begins. So we could look up, actually, it'd be a good idea to find out really how old Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was, but what happened especially at that time was that the procession was proceeding from outside the Jagannath temple, and as it was proceeding down the main road, it's a very big, wide road, they call it Grand Road, and it's huge, actually, because of the festival. So the chariot of Jagannath, specifically the Jagannath Rath, the Jagannath chariot, somehow stopped in front of that house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is now, that house is now a temple of some branch of Gaudiya Math. But at that time, and even when I first went to Puri, which was 79, it was a house. And there was some sort of temple behind, but it wasn't like now. It's a major, quite a substantial temple. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared there on February the 6th. The Rath Yatra festival, the chariot stopped there sometime in June, plus or minus 4 months. And it wouldn't move. It stopped there, actually, for 3 days. For 3 days, the chariot stopped there, and they couldn't get it to move. So as is the practice sometimes, when such things happen, or particularly at the end of the Rath Yatra procession in front of the Gundicha temple, some stairs are put going up to the platform just immediately in front of of the deity, in this case, Jagannath himself. And people can go up and offer prayers, offer obeisances, make some offering of some sort. So Bhagavati Devi did that. She went up onto the chariot and she placed little Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He had not gotten his name yet. I don't know what they used to call him, but we'll talk about him actually getting his childhood name in a moment. So she took him up. She went on the chariot and took little baby Srila Bhakti Siddhanta up and placed him right at the lotus feet of Jagannath. And while little Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was lying there, one garland fell from Jagannath right down and sort of encircled little Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And of course, this sort of thing is always a good sign. When a garland falls, it's a good sign. When jewelry falls, some ornament, it's a bad sign. So the saying goes. But definitely, when a garland falls, it's a good sign. We were reading a bit about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, how he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan. But one night, so he should go to Vrindavan. So he did. He went to Vrindavan. And then the devotees were expressing how he should write a biography, because he was known as Kaviraj, means, in this context, means poet. And he didn't know what to do. So he went in front of Krishna, Madan Mohan, and he prayed, "Please give me some direction, I don't know what to do." And at that moment a garland fell from Madan Mohan, which was then placed on his neck, Krishnadas Kaviraj, and everyone cheered, and it was taken as being a great auspicious sign. So a similar thing happened with little baby Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Garland fell. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is on the floor, right in front of the deity, suddenly, shoo! And those are quite serious garlands. Bang! If it had landed on his body, shoo! Anyway, yeah. So everyone, there were many devotees around. The crowd was elated, really very happy, and everyone took it as a very important sign. So then, on the very same day, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took his youngest little son, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to perform the Annaprashna ceremony, first grain ceremony. So he went to the Jagannath temple, the big temple, and got some foodstuffs from some prasadam from the Jagannath temple, Mahaprasadam. And on that very day on which this incident with up on the chariot, the garland, when that happened, on that very day, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur performed the Annaprashna ceremony for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta by giving him Jagannath Mahaprasad, but it wasn't just Jagannath Mahaprasad. It was Maha Mahaprasad. Means that when after the prasadam is taken off the altar of Jagannath and then it's taken out for distribution, prasadam distribution is a huge part of the program at that big Jagannath temple. So some of the Mahaprasadam, which was placed on the altar there, is taken and offered to, as I understand, different of the demigods, different of them. Well, I know Bimala Devi, yeah. Anyway, maybe it's just Bimala Devi, who's Yoga Maya in Jagannath Puri. And so some of that Mahaprasadam then is taken to her temple, which is one of the temples within the walls, within the compound, and that Mahaprasadam, Jagannath Mahaprasad, is offered to Bimala Devi. And then when it's taken out, it's Maha Mahaprasad, and it is called Bimala Prasad. And so on that day, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was given the name Bimala Prasad and fed that Bimala Prasad, which was his anaprashna, his first grains. So then, yes, he was growing up step by step as a small child. The next incident that we'll refer to, well, let me just mention one interesting little point, that the transcendental body of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as a child of Bimala Prasad was very special. And here's an interesting little description. Listen to this. His feet were soft like butter, so much so that to those who touched them, it almost seemed as if there were no bones. His skin was so delicate that even the slightest touch would redden it. Bimal Prasad as a child. Yes. So, but the next incident, pastime, that I want to mention is a very famous pastime. Srila Prabhupada speaks about it in there's one famous class of Srila Prabhupada's on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Very famous. We played it, actually. Yes, just not long ago. On the disappearance day, which was, what, a month or two ago or something. And there Srila Prabhupada told the story how at the age of 3, Bimala Prasad, living there with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the family, it was summer, which is the mango season, of course. Yes, it's the mango season. And in those days, there were so many mangoes that would grow that people who had trees, what to speak of selling them, they'd have so many, they'd just give them away, particularly at the height of the season. So in all the different families, in all the different houses of the devotees, of the people, during the summer, of course, there are other fruits also which mature in the summer. It's the main season. And so every family in every household, like in the lounge, the family room, there'll always be a bowl of fruit, and any family member or anyone who just happens by, they can just take a fruit, and they don't have to ask, can I have a fruit or one of these fruits? Just take it. There's so much. So, on that occasion, during the summer, during the mango season, on the table in the lounge, there was this one big, beautiful mango. And of course, the practice we just mentioned, the practice. So, young, 3-year-old, Bimala Prasad, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he came running through the room and saw this big, beautiful mango just sitting there. And he assumed, oh, I can take it. And he did. He took it and he started eating it. But when he had already started eating and had eaten some, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came through the room and saw him there eating this mango. And it was, of course, they, as a very serious Vaishnava family, they would only eat prasadam. So they would put out prasadam fruit. And Bimal Prasad had assumed it was prasadam, but it wasn't. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada says, mildly chastised him that, oh, this was for the deity. It was not offered. It was to be offered to the deity. Oh, you have done a very wrong thing. Prabhupada says, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mildly chastised him. You've done a very wrong thing. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad, even though only 3 years old, right then and there, he took a vow. I will never again eat mango for the rest of my life. And Prabhupada makes the point, he strictly upheld the vow. And of course, people went, particularly as when he became the famous spiritual leader and great preacher with thousands and thousands of followers, during the summer, people would come and offer him mangoes. This is common practice when there's a sadhu to offer something nice. But Srila Prabhupada there in that class says that whenever that happened, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would refuse and say, no, I cannot take it. I am an offender. Yes. So, even as a 3-year-old child, he took a vow like that. And Prabhupada notes, he was so serious about his Krishna consciousness, so serious that he would take such a vow at such an age. It's inconceivable, actually, but that's what he did. And Srila Bhaktivinoda noticed his seriousness and gave him some special care and special attention out of the children to really help him to develop in Krishna consciousness. Here's an interesting point, devotees. How many verses do you know from Bhagavad Gita? How many verses? How many verses? Anyway, we will not ask further. At the age of 7, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita at the age of 7. 700 verses. Again, it's so obvious that he's a very special devotee. Very, very special. It's just so obvious. So then, in 1881, means Bimal Prasad Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is seven. He's still 7 years old. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has moved and taken the family to Calcutta. He had left Jagannath Puri and took them to Calcutta. And in the course of the construction of a house which he had built there for his family, it's called Bhakti Bhavan. It's in Ram Bagan in Calcutta. So in the course of excavating for the construction of the house, Srila Bhaktivinoda found a deity of Lord Kurma. And Bimal Prasad, seeing that old deity that somehow from the past had ended up really under the ground, when Bimal Prasad saw that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he asked his father, "May I worship this deity?" So Srila Bhaktivinoda then gave Bimal Prasad some form of initiation. It's different from our, we have normally two initiations for all the devotees. So not that specific, not one of our initiations. It wasn't like second initiation that he received from Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But it was an initiation for the purposes of Bimal Prasad worshipping that deity. So therefore, after that form of initiation, Srila Bhaktivinoda entrusted Bimal Prasad with the service of that deity of Kurma. From the age of seven, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started wearing tilak. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started, you could say, giving classes. He started explaining verses from Bhagavad Gita, which, as we said, he had memorized. So he started giving classes, worshipping Kurma. He had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, and he started following the different standard practices of Vaishnavism, like Ekadasi and so on. And at that point, when Bimal Prasad, little Bhaktisiddhanta, was seven, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made chanting japa compulsory for him from the age of seven. Of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, obviously, is not just like our typical little seven-year-old child in a devotee family. But he's a very special personality, transcendental personality. Actually, he's one of the Manjaris, in fact, associates of Radharani. So he was chanting rounds every day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had tulsi beads brought from Jagannath Puri. Now they're in Calcutta. So brought from Jagannath Puri, and he gave them to Bimal Prasad. and instructed him on chanting Hare Krishna on those beads. He gave him another type of initiation for the worship of Nrisingadev. Yes. So in other words, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, at that point at the age of 7, he is quite seriously engaged in practicing Krishna consciousness. He was clearly not an ordinary boy. He had, even at that point, he showed an exceptional memory. He remembered the whole Bhagavad Gita. Not just memory, though, but ability to comprehend the meanings of different things, Krishna-conscious things that he would hear. And he developed a voracious reading habit. Voracious reading habit. And people came to notice that, because he's reading so much Shastra, and people noticed how, even though he would have read something only once, he would remember it verbatim without a problem. So many things he would remember verbatim, things he'd only read once. And therefore, as time went on at least, he acquired the little special name, Living Encyclopedia. And we hear that even in his last days, he could reproduce verbatim any part of any book that he had ever read, even 50 years later. Yes. So he, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad, he was not interested in associating just with the ordinary boys of his age and just playing games with them. One other point. So, back to 1881, Bimal Prasad is 7. The Kurama deity. The Kurama deity was not just like a regular. No. The Kurama deity was a regular deity. It's in the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya now. But they also unearthed a Kurama Shalagram Shila, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to worship, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur allowed him. So anyway, just moving forward a little bit in time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was not interested in associating with the other boys his age and just playing different games and so on. Unless they were interested in spiritual matters, and then he would discuss Krishna conscious topics with them. Otherwise, he avoided them. Even as a young fellow, his two favorite books were Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. They're both compilations of songs. In fact, our Guru Vandana comes from, is it Prarthana?
No.
Prema Bhakti, yeah, from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Comes from there, yeah. And it's interesting little side point. That Guru Vandana song is considerably longer than what we sing. We only sing, maybe it's half, maybe it's less than half, but it's something like that. of the whole song. Yes, here's an interesting little story. Once, a famous Babaji, who was not really, you know, in those days there are many devotees who were not actually qualified, but just had facades of being like sannyasis even, and gurus and so on, but they were not qualified. It was very common. So once one such Babaji noticed that Bimal Prasad had failed to offer him obeisances, and when the Babaji asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Why did your son not offer me obeisances?" Srila Bhaktisiddhanta answered, "Because he does not offer dandavats to sahajiyas." Haribol. You know, frankly, many of those sahajiyas would not really take offense to being called sahajiyas, because it was the name of a branch, so to speak, of the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, but of course we understand the deeper meaning. In 1888, it means he's 14, he started studying astronomy, and at the age of 15 so impressed his teachers, they gave him the name Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. Siddhanta Saraswati. In 1893, because now he's really into astronomy, astrology, and related subjects. In 1893, Bimal Prasad, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, published Surya Siddhanta, the oldest traditional Vedic book on astronomy. So in the introduction, he chastised the astronomers of the day who were very unqualified. Let me just read what he said. It's quite outstanding. "At present, the majority of persons reputed as learned are averse to Shastriya understanding. They shamelessly promote themselves as knowledgeable in Shastra, even though totally unaware of its contents. The disease has taken the form of inordinate desire for honor. This evil has engulfed the Jyoti Tirthas, and resultingly their work is incomplete and short-sighted. I have brought out this translation of Sri Surya Siddhanta with the hope of attracting the attention of really intelligent thinkers toward the study of astronomy. The Jyotir Tirthas spend most of their life busily expanding their bellies and have completely stopped cultivating the complex knowledge of mathematical astronomy received in Guru Parampara. Additionally, they take the help of tables provided in different restaurants, reference books, and without ever reading or even studying Surya Siddhanta, they continually quote them to defend their wrong calculations." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was famous for, you might say, never mincing his words. He would really, just say things as they are, regardless of who he was speaking to often. So in 1892, Siddhanta Bimal Prasad entered the Calcutta Sanskrit College. And he formed a society called Chira Kumara Sabha, the Association of Lifelong Brahmacharis, also called the August Assembly, where members took a vow of celibacy, intending to avoid entanglement in family affairs. However, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati was the lone member, the only one, to maintain the pledge throughout his life. Oh, okay. During the school holidays, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati studied the Vedas under Pandit Prithvishvara Sharma, who also tutored him in the grammatical work Siddhanta Kaumudi. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati went through the entire grammar in 3 months, covering the section on Sunday in 3 days. You've studied Sunday, right, Maharaj? 3 days. Sure. Good luck. But anyway, he did it because he's so special. Pandit Sharma cautioned, "You should not finish the perusal of Sunday so quickly. It took me a long time." In Benares, scholars go through Panini's grammar during their whole life. Whoever continuously studies Panini attains liberation upon dying. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati replied, "Then, from today, I reject you. The goal of my life is neither mastery of grammar nor liberation, but worship of Hari and attaining his affection. I have studied the Vedas, the branches of the Vedas, and their common parts only in a secondary manner." Hare Krishna. Well, I don't know if someone else is going to carry on later. They can. If they want some notes, I can give some notes. But today is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. We can pray to him very seriously. "Please help me to become a better servant of your servant, our Srila Prabhupada." We can pray to him like that to give us some mercy to progress in our Krishna consciousness. And of course, don't forget we're fasting till the middle of the day. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati ki. Go Premanande. Jai.